Psalm 20, a Psalm of David. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are all brought to their knees and fall, but we will rise up and stand firm. O Lord, say the King, answer us when we call. Amen.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you for that powerful reading. The psalm written by David, which is now known as Psalm 20. Writers say he wrote it as a prayer. Some say he wrote it as a song. But I've got a confession to make. When I came across this reading, I rewound my clock of my college days. I still remember my tutor saying to me, when you've got a text put before you, read it before yourself. What is it saying to you before you even start preparing your sermon? Then he said, on a Monday, start with a piece of blank paper, put it on your table and leave it there. Let the Holy Spirit come with those inspirations in you before you put pen on paper. And they said, during that time, whilst all this is happening, because you've read the text, a story is brewing in your mind. The Holy Spirit is bringing words in you. Come up with a theme. Wow. During that waiting moment, the theme came in my mind. And I just said, time to be specific. That's the theme that came up in my mind. Now with that theme on hand, what then followed was about what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. I got it right. If you thought I was going to get it wrong. Nearly. Yes, I'm getting there. So, Solomon wrote these 8 verses and speaks about time for everything under the sun. But remember, God doesn't work with time because he's God. Time is for human beings. But in these 8 verses, Solomon clearly states, especially in verse 1, he says, there is time for everything. He goes on further in verse 2 to say this, a time to be born, a time to die, and a time to plant, and a time to uproot. With that theme of mine, time to be specific is this time. What do we want to be specific about? When you pray, have you been specific to the Lord? Or you just pray willy-nilly? I always say this, and I want to repeat it again. When you pray, be specific. Sometimes, thoughts overtake our planning. Have you been in a situation where you ask God, why me? I've been in that situation. I said, why me? Isaiah knew there were going to be a lot of people with this question in their minds. He wrote in Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9. God's ways are not our ways. That's an answer to that. If you've been in a situation like me where you question, where are you, God, when these things are happening? Ladies and gentlemen, we want to be specific. God is not to be questioned about his whereabouts. If he asks you, when I created you, where were you? Are you going to answer that one? You can't. So don't ask God, where are you when this is happening? Scripture says, bring everything before the Lord, all your burdens. Don't ask about his whereabouts. Just bring them. That leads us to the facts that were written by this clever writer, David. Scholars said Psalm 20 is a liturgical psalm which was sung as the king prepared for battle. It was about going forth into battle. When you are going to battle, you need to prepare. How do you prepare as you are going to battle? Scholars say it was chanted in alternative voices by the congregation, and the priest or Levites would lead the choir. As the king stood before the congregation offering sacrifices, the congregation was there to help him as they lifted up their voices to the Lord. And then in verse 6 and 8, they all joined in prayer. And verse 9, they end by saying, God save the king, answer us when we call. Standing together with one voice, it's time to be specific. Are we standing together with one voice? David went before his congregation. He knew, though he was king, but he needed his congregation to stand together, to arm him. That was his ammunition to go when he was going to battle. We all have battles in our lives. There's no one who can say, I don't have a battle. You'll be telling fibs. We don't even, some of the battles that we'll face tomorrow, Monday. We only know it's a Monday day. And this Monday is not like last Monday. I know usually Mondays, I do community work. I go to Venge community and meet with the community there. I didn't go last Monday. So completely, even though that is programmed in the Venge community program that they will have people coming, I didn't go last week. So tomorrow is a different Monday. I don't know what is going to happen, but in my plans, those are the plans that I have. But everything, I leave it in the hands of the Lord. Now, the question I want to bring before the congregation of God is, what we should want for our leaders? David went to his congregation to ask for help, for him to be armed in battle as the city was about to be attacked. We are no longer attacking each other in these days as Christians. We pray against attacking each other. But there are some forces that come in our lives that we need to be protected against. Forces of disputes, forces of misunderstanding, forces of poverty. It's a battle, if you didn't know. What do we want for our leaders? I just want to bring this before you. When I think of leaders, I always think of politicians. So, on this statement, I might be wrong, but I stand to be corrected. The moment I hear the word leaders, I think of politicians. So about politicians, I just want to bring this image before you on the screen. Do you know those people? You know them, yeah? That's my friend there, standing next to Theresa May. Pardon? It's not yours. Yes. Love your neighbor, my sister. This is how he becomes my friend. Yeah, but you love them. We've had that argument some other time. Let's get on. And you know the one in a blue shirt? You've seen him and heard him sometimes? Yeah, you know him? All right. His face rings a bell. Yeah? Right, okay. I'm glad you said that. Right, I just want to say something about these three leaders in their different capacities, right? The first leader, Donald Trump, he's just come into power. It's 3 weeks now. But oh boy, he's in Amerexit. You are used to Brexit, isn't it? He's in Amerexit. Why am I saying so? He's got so many problems already. 3 weeks in office. He wants to build a wall to separate the people from coming from Mexico into America. That wall, he started by saying it will be 12, something billion. But they've discovered it's going to be more than that. How is it going to come from that scale where he had promised people it's going to be 12, something and now it's about 30 something billion? Okay? Like, that's not enough. He's trying to bar some other citizens of other countries to come to America. A good, noble thing, though, for security measures. But, oh boy, I'm not going into that. Then our prime minister. I love her to bits. Someone left that problem for her. Because you remember, she's not the one who won the election. But the one who said the problem said, well, I've done a bit, I'm off. And she's taking it on herself, Brexit. Remember, originally she didn't like it. But she's now a leader in that situation. She has got to like what's there because she's a leader. What is that we want for our leaders? Should we let them go on their own? Right now, Theresa May doesn't know what Brexit is going to come with. If we trigger that Article 50, what is going to come up? She doesn't know. What about the business community? They don't know whether they're going to lose their clients or their staff. They are going to quit or go to Europe. They don't even know. But they are in this, not alone, with us. This is why David went back to his congregation. What about the other third man? He's a leader as well. Don't limit your leaders to politicians as I did. He also has got his own heavy load. He's going to battle. Do you know when we pray together here, we are in a battle. Spiritual battle that we have. I said earlier on, when you come here, you have brought your baggage that was bothering you throughout the week. When you leave it here, don't take it back. You leave it here, right? In the hands of the Lord. David wrote that psalm because there were problems. He was facing the battle. He could see what was going to happen. Jerusalem was going to be attacked. The children of Israel were going to be attacked. They were vulnerable. It caught his heart and he prayed that prayer in Psalm 20. When we pray together, when you bring all your prayer requests to the Lord, as a leader, yes, I lead in your prayers. Yes, I will be interceding for you. But I need your support in those prayers. This is how you arm me. Because on my own, these prayers, when the evil is coming, that's the enemy that I am facing as your leader, I need ammunition with your prayers. I want to go again back to Paul's letter to Timothy 1, chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. In that letter, Paul gives the young Timothy some advice. First, Paul urges Timothy that requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving to be made for everyone. Kings and those in authority. When we speak of those in authority, I beg not to limit this to politicians only. We also take it to the church, church leaders. They need your help. We need to be helped. When you have armed the leaders, they are prepared to do their work. We are no longer talking about bullets as you armors. No. That prayer that you help me, that prayer that you help your leaders, that prayer that you help anyone in authority, if it's a country, when people are living in peace, we don't bother the next country about aid, because you are sustainable through peace. You don't need help from anywhere else. When our prayers are answered, our friends who are not very well, they are healed. Are we not in peace? Something that we didn't know. Preachers, these prayers that we say here during the night, we are wide awake. The tape of these prayers replay, and everything is beyond in front of them. Sometimes even our wives don't even know that we are wide awake praying for the church. But it happens. But leaders need to be armed by you. Sometimes we don't sleep. We are wide awake. Whatever is going on with one of you here comes in my mind. Then I go over it again and again as I pray for you. But for this to go on, we need the congregation. This is why David, he was standing before that congregation saying, "We are facing a battle. I need ammunition." Ammunition comes from you. So that I can carry on, or so that preachers can carry on, soldiering on behalf of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Interceding on your behalf. Then David, maybe there were some doubters within that congregation. I don't know. I'm just suggesting. Number two thing is, leaders need... Tony, if you have this right. Those are the three topics that I'm talking about. I started with what we should want for our leaders. Now is the assurance. God hears prayers. That is what David was doing in that psalm. He was telling people, there's assurance that God hears our prayers. We're not just doing this for the sake of ticking boxes, but God is listening. One other reminder I want to remind you, Solomon, after he had prayed, God actually spoke these words. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. That was Solomon when he heard God, after he had prayed. This is what God said. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Isn't this a wise advice to our leaders? They cannot go it alone. They need to seek the face of the Lord. Even ourselves, we need to seek the face of the Lord. But hold on a minute. When Solomon heard this, you hear what the Lord is saying in that text. If my people who are called by my name seek my face, I'll forgive their sins. Forgiveness is what we are preaching amongst ourselves this morning. Though it's not about forgiveness. But here it has come. It's an assurance that God hears our prayers. But we need to forgive one another. We need to forgive one another. There are some people who say, "No, this is not for me. It's difficult for me." No, it's not. Tell the Lord that I've got a difficulty in forgiving. What should I do? Because if you haven't forgiven someone, how is the Lord going to heal the land, a land which is full of sin? God doesn't love sin. He hates sin. I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. We want this land to be healed. We want the American land to be healed. But we must forgive one another. I like this new hymn that I've just come across. Those of you who came earlier on, they found me playing it. Forgiveness is something like what's being mentioned in that hymn. I will read it for you. I've got it here in Mission Praise. It's hymn number 348. It says, "It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon all those around can warm up on its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you have experienced it, you spread His love to everyone you want to pass it on." This is like forgiveness. Once you have started forgiving someone, it's like God's love. You want to pass it on. You want to pass it on. But if you don't want to forgive others, you are not going to pass it on. You hold on to it. So I'm advising you to start passing it on. Start forgiving others. You start passing it on. Psalm 52:22 says this: "Give your burdens to the Lord and He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall." New Living Translation. Give your burdens to the Lord. One of the issues of assurance that God hears prayers, I'm encouraged by Abraham's servant, I think it's Eliza. He said, "Go and get a girl for my son, from my own people." Then Eliza got to that town and he knew how to get where to get the girls. He went to the well. As he was sitting by that well, as he was praying to God, "Let it be that girl who gets here first will be the girl." Before he said amen, there was a girl approaching the well. And she had a test to pass. Eliza said, "If she waters my camels and myself, she is the one." But what I want to tell you is the assurance that God hears our prayers. Before he said amen, there was a girl coming. In those years, young girls were allowed to be married. If it was these days, I think they could have labeled Eliza a pedophile, because this girl was a young girl. But that was how God answered the prayer. As soon as before he even said amen, there was a girl on the horizon standing in front of him. Assurance that God answers our prayers. This is the God that I believe in. The third thing, in verse 6, David says, "He knows that the Lord answers thee from His holy heaven with His saving power of His right hand." In his prayer, David is asking for protection. He's asking for prosperity. All this, what David asked, God granted. So, does God change from yesterday and today? Or is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? If God answers David's request, why can he not answer us today? What is your request for your leaders? What is the request that you want for your preachers? Do you have a request for them? Or is only a prayer? What about their families? Do you think about their families as well? Do you pray for them? Do you pray for prosperity? Do you pray for peace in their families? They are human beings as well, don't forget. Their families is not only the inner circle, they've got extended families as well. There are squabbles there, mate, if you didn't know. And your minister, whether it's me or someone else, is also involved because that's his biological family. He cannot ignore them. Do you pray for them? What do you want for your leaders? The last thing, confidence and trust in the Lord. Again, I keep on going back to David because David is God's friend. David had God at his heart. In verse 7, he says, "Some trust in horses and chariots." What about us? What do we trust in? We might say this is an Old Testament saying, some trust in horses and chariots. But today there are some who trust in their wealth. Some trust in their education. Some trust in the people around them. Is that worth trusting? Now, If you trust in those things around you, you are trusting in horses and chariots. We need to put our trust in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That verse rests my case. What do you want for your leaders? You've heard the assurance that God hears our prayers. And now, our confidence must be in the Lord, not in horses and chariots. No. That verse rests my case. We've got to trust in the Lord in all that we do, in all that we ask for. Keep on trusting Him. It's not wasting time. I'm reminded of Jesus Christ when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to His Father. He knew the cross was in front of Him. He was going to go on the cross, but He prayed. Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as You will. I want to draw your attention to that close of Jesus' prayer. Jesus trusted in the Father without doubt, and with facing the cross, He didn't lose His trust in His Father. Why do we sometimes lose our trust in our Father? If you are like me, I'm also a human being. I used to sometimes lose the trust. When I've prayed, I say, well, it hasn't gone my way. Where is God in all this? Jesus said, Father, Abba, everything is possible with You. Everything is possible with God, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is possible with Him. There is nothing that is not possible with Him. Even with that, Jesus said, take this cup from me. Yet not I will, but what You will. Mark 14, verse 36. Jesus was being specific here. Therefore, we too, we should be specific. What do we want for our leaders? In my conclusion, I've spoken about time to be specific. David said, Lord saves the anointed. We are the anointed. In Jesus' own words, Abba, Father, He said, everything is possible with You. Take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but what You will. Is that position what we are today? What do we wish for our leaders? Do we have the assurance that God hears our prayers? When we ask, do we let the Lord take His will, or is our will? There's nothing wrong to be specific, but let the Lord have the last say. Yet not what I will, but what You will. Thank You, Lord, for what David wrote. Hope it will help us as we wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to absorb and keep what is in Your word. David took his request to his congregation because he needed the ammunition to face the battle. We are in a battle as well as we live in this world, because the enemy is always planting bombshells here and there. But because our trust is in the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth, where does our help come from? Our help comes from You, Father. So this morning, help us to remember those words of Jesus Christ when He prayed, not my will, but Thy will be done. Father, help us to be specific when we speak to You. help us to be specific when we declare the ending of our prayers. Help us to be specific when we pray for our leaders. Help us to be specific so that they don't go alone. They go with our support. We arm them as they face battle. Thank you, Father, for your Son who died for us. Lord Jesus, may you take our closing prayer to your Father and help us every time when we pray to be specific. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.